Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We've got ourselves a bizarre situation in the NFL, almost as bizarre as the conversation we just had during the break. It is two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are making us a part of your Tuesday morning. We appreciate you taking all you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 a.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
The things Jonas says, man.
A lot of news and notes around the NFL here, guys. We saw, you know, a couple of teams in the NFC North, teeing off on each other last night. The Lions going up early and the Packers come back and win. All sorts of stuff on that. And then you look elsewhere around the division and the Minnesota Vikings are 0-2. But it feels like you have sort of a clear understanding as to what each team in the division is. Oh, and then there's Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears. And nobody could really figure out what the hell is going on there. Andy Dalton suffered an injury in Sunday's game. Justin Fields came in. Didn't look all that great, but they did get a win. And Matt Nagy talked about whether or not when Andy Dalton returns and is healthy, he will be the starting quarterback again. There was some confusion. Scheme got brought up. But here was Matt Nagy trying to make sense to the media yesterday in Chicago.
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter?
That's something that I'm not going to get into with Scheme.
That's not Scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% Scheme, Brad. That's 100% Scheme.
So, there's that.
Brad.
Hold on.
It is.
I believe that's Brad Biggs.
Brad.
Who does, he's been covering the Bears for a long time.
Can I ask this, though? I mean, I get it. We're in the regular season now, so head coaches are very protective of their scheme. Now, very protective.
Yeah, that is true.
Very, okay? It is like, you know, it's like they wear a cup, all right? It's like they walk around wearing a cup to protect their scheme. You know, they want to make sure it's all protected. Let me just ask you this, though. Did it not matter for Scheme week one where he kept saying Andy Dalton was the starter?
Yes.
Like, didn't it matter then from a schematic standpoint?
Sure did.
Okay. Then why is it any different now, two games into the season? You were so adamant then. If it's not about Scheme, it's about an injury, then just say that. But if it's about Scheme, you were over the top, kept telling everyone, hey, Andy Dalton's our starter. Dalton's our starter. Okay. Like, find some other excuse. And by the way, they had to have someone back in to clarify.
Yes.
Because they said Matt Nagy was confused by the question.
Yeah, he wasn't confused as to who he was responding to. That was for
yeah.
sure.
He
was
yeah,
clear. He was clear on that. These are the things, right? Reporters a lot of times have personal and private meetings with coaches and, you know, trainers. You build a relationship with them. And one of the things that you like to establish is, like, please don't try me in front of other people. Like, let's keep the relationship healthy. Let's keep it clean. I'll give you information you're seeking in a capacity that may be different than the one we're in right now. By him addressing him by his first name, it says to me, it's like, listen, I'm giving you the answer that I'm going to give you, Brad. Like, please don't push the topic, because I'm trying not to answer the question. And so to me, this is going to be a persisting conversation until Justin Fields is the starter, in which then the conversation becomes, what is Justin Fields doing? How well is Justin Fields doing? The ship has sailed on Andy Dalton.
Yes.
It's sailed.
It's over.
And why Matt Nagy is working so hard, I don't know if Andy Dalton has pictures of him doing something he shouldn't be doing. I have no idea why he's so bullish on Dalton, but he is. And for what it's worth, I mean, he can use whatever, you know, reasoning he wants to use. I believe more often than not, coaches are going to say and do whatever they want to do as it applies to what they say in interviews. You shouldn't expect it to be truth in those situations. It's always, in a lot of times, going to be deception in what it is that they have to say.
Okay, so Justin Fields was going to be the starter at some point this season, right? Like this idea they were going to pull a 2017 Chiefs and let Mahomes sit all the way with Alex Smith putting up an MVP-worthy season, that wasn't realistic. So Justin Fields is going to get on the field at some point. Well, that point is now because Andy Dalton's hurt. So, yeah, it may have sped things up a little bit, and he was named the starter a few weeks earlier. But we just talked yesterday about, hey, man, if you've got a quarterback like Zach Wilson, he's a young quarterback, you can't bench him when things get rough and go back to somebody else. Like, once he's in and he's your guy, he's your guy. Isn't that the same thing here? Like, if Justin Fields is your guy, you got to roll with him. Like, that's it. Andy Dalton, it's done. We're done here. Forget about scheme.
I also hate the idea that, you know, people were like, oh, you can't lose your job to injury. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Okay. It's happened 1,000 times in professional sports, in the NFL.
In college, high school, it happens.
Like, you get hurt, someone goes in, they play well, and the coach is put in a situation where they're going to ride the hot hand. They start winning games or things are going better than maybe when you were in. That's just how it works. I mean, that it's called opportunity. That's what it really is. So in this case, they now have the opportunity to potentially play Justin Fields. We don't know the severity of Andy Dalton's injury. And I think Matt Nagy and that staff have enough respect for Andy Dalton that if he can go, they want to give him the first shot. I think they feel like, you know, he looks like he's the most prepared out there. Now, maybe Justin Fields was running more of a Andy Dalton game plan, and that wasn't structured or built for him last week, which is why he might have struggled a little. But that's probably how this is going to go. And until Andy Dalton, you know, until he's ruled out, then I think they adjust. Because the scheme would adjust significantly if Justin Fields is in the game. The rushing attack, their passing attack. I mean, I would be thinking that you're going to run the football more often. You're going to have more play action pass, some move the pocket passes, even more screens, more shots downfield. And you're going to limit how many times Justin Fields has to drop back and read a defense. Mm. And if he has to do that every once in a while on third down, so be it. But that's the world that you don't want to live in if Justin Fields as a rookie is thrust into this position right now.
I feel like it's a complex situation for Nagy because he's made it one. If you put Justin Fields in the game and you allow for Justin Fields to go through the growing pains of what Mac and Zach are going through with their respective teams, then you can obviously justify some of the things that they may come up short on, even if you do have them trying to read defenses and doing things. Look, Peyton Manning struggled to read defenses and do things in his rookie season.
He's struggling on Monday Night Football now, too.
Oh, stop.
Sorry about that.
Peyton Manning is the man.
Yeah. Talking about bad television.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. Can we get to that in a minute, though? Yeah, I do have an observation.
You know, I've got a tease for you. All right. Lined up, well, Brady Quinn.
I mean,
no, listen.
Yeah, but again, I just think that it's a – you've made your bid with this scenario, right? And it's almost like, and maybe I'm wrong, but just listening to how we're even discussing it, it almost comes across as kind of like narcissistic. I made the decision to get Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton was going to be our starter before Justin Fields fell to us in our laps in the draft. And I'm not wrong about Andy Dalton.
Yes.
I'm not wrong for bringing him here and giving him $10 million for this season. I am not wrong. And that's what it kind of seems to come down to me, is you just don't want to be proven right, which you have Justin Fields. It doesn't matter if you're wrong. Just be right about your draft pick. Develop your draft pick. Move on with your draft pick. You don't have to make this about you being right about Andy Dalton.
How much of this is about ego? And I'll just throw this out. How much of it is about ego from the standpoint, and you guys have talked about it before, where coaches have egos. They want to show, hey, all that guy that didn't work there, I can make him work in my system.
The biggest egos.
I can make it work in my scheme. I wonder if Nagy kind of is trying to play two sides here, to where he wants to show that he can make Andy Dalton a quality starter in the NFL again. Also,
but why?
Okay,
at this point in his career, why?
Because I think if he knows he's got to rely on Justin Fields' athletic ability to win games, it's an indictment on Matt Nagy, who was brought there to be an offensive guru, and the offense has gotten progressively worse every single year. And the fact that you're going to have to turn it over to a rookie and rely on his legs to get you first downs to ice games like what happened on Sunday is an indictment on Matt Nagy. That's what I wonder.
You're relying on a number 11 overall pick in your draft.
I know.
I think the justification is in your draft pick. Like, if you put an 11 pick on your draft, what does it matter? What does it matter if how he gets it done? Is anybody tripping out on how Lamar Jackson is? Well, yeah, people are tripping out around. But but that's to win the Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson, right?
Yeah.
That's not to win games.
Yeah.
What I don't get is why it's an indictment having a quarterback that's more of a dual threat or can run. And it's almost like we tend to think like, oh, it takes less scheme or it takes less precision in coaching and the plays and everything they do. Like, it's almost like, oh, well, we tend to say, oh, Lamar Jackson, when he gets out there, you know, he takes some of the pressure off the play caller.
Yes.
Well, no. The reality is this. He simplifies what a defense can and will do. But if you're running the football more often than not, I will promise you, having a proper blocked run play is one of the hardest things to do.
Indeed.
It is way harder to be able to run the football consistently well, even with a running quarterback, than it is to be able to throw the football. Because in that case, in most cases, in the passing game, you only need to have one guy run his route the proper way and at the right depth, the right timing, and just have protection long enough. Not even necessarily to that extent. Where in the run game, you almost every single time need to have 10, 11 guys blocking it the right way. Okay? And it's hard to be able to execute that and make some of those things happen. So if you're looking at an offense and saying, like, what takes the most time to install? What takes the most time to perfect? It's the run game. Like, there is nothing that gets play callers more excited when they have a run play that hits it big. And it's designed perfectly as they thought for that defense, for that front, for that personnel, and ends up hitting a big play. Like, that's where those guys explode and they get excited because that's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, but Brady, you know what? What has Matt Nagy refused to commit to since he's been in Chicago?
Winning.
Running
well,
the ball.
Well, coaching staff.
Winning. Yeah, coaching staff, running the football.
Winning.
I think he's got an ego, man. I really do, and I just don't think he wants to have to depend on Justin Fields to try and save his job. I swear. John Harbaugh did. John Harbaugh said, hey, man, I appreciate it, and furthermore, we'll build an entire offense around
you. Wouldn't you guys agree that you give yourself more running, more landing space, more jetway with Justin Fields?
Agreed.
Right? Yeah. You have more runway.
Agreed.
I don't understand how you could sit there and feel as though your job is in jeopardy if you don't play your number 11 draft pick now.
I think it's because when they drafted Mitchell Trubisky, it still got John Fox fired that rookie year. It didn't matter when they played him. He still got fired that year. So I think that's maybe the concern is like, well, we've seen that before with this ownership, and they didn't care. They actually played some decent football down the stretch. I called a game in Cincinnati. He played really well. There was maybe one or two other games like he played all right there down towards the stretch, and it still didn't matter. You know, they had made their mind up. They were moving on. So maybe it's more about that.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox, brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. All right, so coming up next, we've got an observation on four Super Bowl wins. Four Super Bowl wins and an observation on it all. It's yours next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So we've got ourselves an observation coming up here in just a couple of moments, an NFL observation involving four Super Bowl wins. We will have that for you here. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up in about 10 minutes from now, I think we might have identified the player with the worst luck in recent NFL history. So we will get into all of that for you here 10 minutes from now on FSR. By the way, when a train hits a vehicle at a rail way crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Hey, who's that band, Jonas, that was just playing? Who's that band?
Earth.
No.
What is it?
Who was that?
Oh, Stone Temple Pilots?
Metallica.
It's Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
No, man.
That's not
was
Chicago.
It not? Was that Earth, Wind, & Fire?
Hey, yeah. Roberto, was that Chicago that
no,
you were just
Earth,
playing?
Earth, Wind, & Fire. September 20th.
Okay. Why am I mixing them up with Chicago?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought you were joking.
We're
going to act like you were joking.
By the way, speaking of Chicago, I think somebody's going to Chicago this weekend, aren't they?
Maybe that was it.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
You know why? I thought Roberto might have dropped it because we were talking about the Chicago Bears.
Oh, no.
I think I might.
No, he would have played Beck Loser if that was the case.
Oh,
if we weren't talking about the Chicago Bears.
I was more tripped out about a railway crossing message going while that amazing upbeat song was going in the background. It was kind of interesting. Like, don't get hit by a train, you know.
Right.
If you are listening to the podcast, you didn't hear any of that. Right. So it does make sense. So for those podcast listeners,
right. Don't walk on tracks either.
Yeah.
Shots out to the podcasters.
That's a good point, Roberto.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Right. By the way,
I learned something new about Lee during the break, by the way, Brady.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I think I know what you learned, too.
I heard he was in a Spike Lee joint.
Yeah. You
know? Yes, he was.
Okay.
Is.
How about
still.
It?
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Sure does.
We bonded.
Yeah.
We had a bonding moment.
Sure does.
I was going to say, you. There's a lot of things about Lee you really need to learn about. Because he is.
Lee De Niro.
He's a fun guy.
He is.
Well, now the stories that he's been telling and they now make way more sense to me
right?
now.
Yes. Yes.
They start to
take on more context now that I've gotten to know him a little better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He gets into some precarious situations.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
But it makes more sense now.
That is right.
Yes.
Yeah. Lee De Niro, one of our just a quality guy through and through, that Lee De Niro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some people might have caught that.
Yeah. Just
but probably flew over most.
That's all right, though.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm not either. Right,
okay.
I refuse to.
Hit the button. Hit the button.
Yeah.
Hit the button, Berto.
Hey, listen. That had nothing to do with it. Oh, my God. All right.
Steer clear.
So let's talk about one of the worst pieces of television I've ever seen in my life. And it's this Manning cast, this diaper fire armpit fart of a program that they're trying to roll out. I'm supposed to be impressed with. I want to sit and listen to Peyton Manning and Eli Manning talk about Monday Night Football. You know what I want to hear? I want to hear Eli Manning talk about that jersey scam he was involved in that he paid off to get out of. I want to hear about Peyton Manning and his true thoughts on Brock Osweiler not letting him get on the field during his final years in Denver. That's what I want to hear, but I don't want to hear these guys wax poetic about a bad Monday Night Football game. How about that?
I think they're good.
I enjoy it. I'm a football guy, you know,
it's
and
terrible.
I think a lot of the stuff they talk about is all the stuff that you're thinking about, you're going through in the game. Here was my observation. So I had on the normal broadcast for the Monday Night Football, and then I thought, why don't I switch over and listen to these guys? There was two things that stood out. The first is that Peyton clearly carries it.
Uh-huh.
There's not much downtime or talking time. The audio is not great, but it almost feels like Eli doesn't want to be there.
Mm.
And so that to me is a bit of a problem. And you could almost get a sense that like Peyton's like, come on, dude, like pick it up, talk about that. Because really Peyton's driving and leading the whole thing. And it's almost like he's dragging his little brother along with him. And then the second thing was, what's the audience? Like, I'm a football head, so I like listening to it. I like, you know, hearing if there's anything, he's going to tell me something that I'm not looking at or he might see it differently. But my wife's sitting there, and about after 5 minutes, Alicia goes, "Do you find this entertaining?" And I was like, "That's interesting." because the interesting point about her asking that is, and by the way, she's not a football fan. So why that's important is, if you're the NFL, if you're ESPN, you're trying to grow your audience. And she should be what you're trying to get to watch the game, who you're trying to entertain. And maybe that broadcast isn't for her, but then who is that broadcast for? Because a lot of the people who are tuning into the normal broadcast are probably football heads or people who just love the game of football or a fan of either team, fantasy, betting, whatever. But what audience is that broadcast expanding the viewership, or how is it expanding the viewership? Because it's not recruiting someone like her who is at best a casual fan or might put up with it because her husband has to watch it. So who is that really, I guess, recruiting, other than maybe taking viewers away from your normal broadcast and to the Manning broadcast with Peyton and Eli?
I think they're trying to entertain whatever groups aren't up on listening to Greasy and listening to those guys call the game. I think one thing about listening to Peyton, for one, is his knowledge is kind of unmatched. You know, and he's very charismatic in his deliveries. I agree. I think the whole point of the whole Eli thing is that's Eli. You know, he doesn't seem like he wants to be there, or he seems like he's disconnected.
Do you feel the same way?
Well, I know him, so it's kind of like if you've gotten to know the dynamic of how they are, you realize that that's kind of part of the shtick that goes on with what they do, is that Peyton is the more outgoing one while Eli is the more unassuming one in the whole scenario. I think that the audience that they're going after is also an audience that enjoys seeing celebrity. The fact that you brought Ray Lewis on, the fact that you brought Russell Wilson on.
All football celebrities. Yeah. Not like they're bringing on too many people outside of it, right? All former players.
Yeah, I would say that's still – star power still moves people to want to pay attention and see what it's about, even if it's star power within the football arena. Oh. You know, I would think that people are like, can I learn something from it? Like, a lot of people would have said that, all right, you know, listening to Tony Romo call the games the way that he calls the games, which is very different than what people are used to, either could be a good thing or could be a bad thing. It turned out that a lot of people bought into it and they like it. Tony Romo doesn't even come close to being as knowledgeable as Peyton Manning is in terms of dissecting and breaking down and making it fun all at the same time. Like him putting on the helmet and his head being too big, him making fun of his head. But if you're listening to what he's saying, he's giving you straight knowledge on what's taking place within the plays. He's letting you know, even just some of the stories, the behind-the-scenes stories, Ray Lewis telling Eli who the backer is. I'm not the backer, he's the backer, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
To me, I think that does entertain more people than just the general football fan, because if you're doing it in a funny way, you know how a lot of times – people will laugh at something because they're entertained by it, but they don't laugh at it because they truly understand it. You know, it's like, oh, that was funny, but you didn't really catch the essence of what they were talking about. Like, Ray Lewis is sitting there telling you, I'm not the backer, and he's dictating to you who the backer is based off of the set and what's about to happen. And Eli's like, oh, yeah, he is the backer, and they change it. And whether it's true or not, if you understand football and you can go into the mind of how we thought or how we think as football players, I think that's super ridiculously valuable and entertaining if you can comprehend it. And
sure.
For those
which really only true football fans
would probably be able to do. But with that being said, I still think that if you're not a true football fan, it's still interesting to be able to say, man, did you hear them discussing like this, that, and the other? I still think that that's how some people expand how they view and how they approach the game.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, my wife's one of those people, and she was completely turned off by it. She was like, this is not She's like, I'd rather watch the normal broadcast. Yeah. Which
well,
I thought
she
was
is married to a former NFL quarterback, though. She might be judging them differently.
She was never a football fan. Like, she's part of the audience I think they're trying to grow and expand to is people who haven't been, but they want them to be. I think the other interesting thing about it is, like, when Gronk comes on, because you're kind of dependent upon the guests. Like, it's at a certain point, if the game's starting to lull a little bit, you're kind of like, all right, well, who's coming next? Which, that's not a good thing. Like, you watch a game because you're entertained by it. There's betting angles. There's fantasy angles. You're a fan of the teams. But if the game becomes a little bit out of hand and one side started to dominate like the Packers were in the second half, you're probably turning it off. I mean, and that's where I don't even know if people were hanging on to the end. I mean, it got a little looser, a little crazier. But it's interesting that they're going with this model. I mean, I personally enjoy it. I don't know. It's hard. Like, after you have all these guests on at some point, like, who are you continuing to bring on that's going to help entertain it?
Yeah, the show sucks. Let's just call it what it is. The show stinks out loud. It's a bad show. And the fact that they've got to have two different broadcasts just to try and bring in an audience. Back in the day when we were growing up, listening to Dan Dierdorf, and Frank Gifford and Al Michaels call games, and they had the helmets colliding. Remember the Monday Night Football graphics where the helmets would collide on TV? You didn't have dual broadcasts because they had to worry about placating to everybody. They had one broadcast, you either liked it or you didn't like it.
Howard
and if you didn't
Cosell.
Like it, yeah,
and by the way,
kiss our ass. We didn't need double barrel action. The Mannings on one screen, and then the Monday Night Football broadcast on the other. ESPN's too sensitive.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I love how, by the way, Gronk didn't even look like he wanted to be on it.
Yeah.
Like he was doing them a favor almost by coming
on the
show.
Of course, they're all doing them favors. That's all favors. That's for certain.
By the way, you know the best part is I've never seen 1 second of the show. I have no idea if it's good or not.
That is hilarious.
I just wanted to lay the lumber
a little bit. Oh, come on, man.
That's cold blooded. You know how many people you've just influenced that?
What do you mean?
That's cold blooded.
Come on, man.
I guess I'll put it this way. When Pat McAfee joined the show, he made it better.
He's a superstar, though.
Yes.
He is, though, but he's an entertainer. But the problem is, if you have a guest who joins the show and ends up elevating and making it better, then maybe he should be a part of the show full time.
Right.
Right? Like, maybe he should be the host of it.
That's a smart move, for certain, if you get somebody who drives it that way.
Right. Because I don't know that, again, maybe Peyton wants to drive it that way and he wants to do all that, but it sure as heck isn't going to be Eli, right? Like he's not going to be that guy. So it was interesting that was a dynamic that I thought was entertaining and funny. But again, I'm already buying in. Whether this broadcast was there or not, I'm watching Monday Night Football.
Yes.
And that's, I guess that's my question is, who's tuning in just to watch Peyton? Because you would have already been watching the Monday Night Football broadcast anyway.
Yeah. Who knows, man?
Well, they were good on Saturday Night Live. I mean, they're pretty, especially Peyton. I mean, he's pretty talented dude, man.
Saturday Night Live's still
fan.
On the air?
Yeah.
No. Just
is it?
I have no idea.
Yes.
Huh. I haven't watched that in forever.
I was always more
gonna get in the water.
Listen,
I
was more of a fan of
Let me hear you say it now.
And Living Color was better in Saturday Night Live. All right. Just want to hold on to that.
Can you hit the button? Can you hit the button, please?
How's it? Okay.
Can you hit the button?
That is
racist.
How is that racist?
What?
It's better.
It's in reverse.
Men on
it's
Film.
Reverse.
That's
Fire Marshal Bill.
You're shaming.
What do you
that's
mean?
Shaming. You're shaming.
What?
Yes. Saturday Night Live is like an institution.
Oh, get out of here.
It's still
Living
running.
Living Color is better than Saturday Night Live.
And Living Color was
is.
A dope show.
It
it's just not around anymore.
Homie the Clown.
Homie the Clown, don't play that.
So
hey,
good.
Listen, though, but it's not running anymore. Saturday Night Live is still going.
Yeah, well, listen, you know.
It gets real out here in these streets, huh?
Lee knows
Sábado
what I'm talking
Gigante.
About. Yeah, Lee knows what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Oh, my
right.
God.
It is
it got real awkward just
two
now.
Two pros and a cup of
got
Joe.
Awkward.
It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox. All right, so coming up next, we have got a little bit of show controversy. Also, somebody in the NFL who's got awful luck, maybe the worst luck in recent NFL history. We're going to get to that all next here. It's almost two pros and a cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox. And more importantly, you right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
That's good music right there.
I mean,
that is.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's pretty
good.
Oh,
you know what that just made me think of?
Yeah, a little Tupac.
Hey, Jonas. Jonas. Hey, have you ever done your intro for LeVar?
I haven't.
Can we try that out right now?
You want to do it right now?
I would love to. I want LeVar to experience
this. Why don't y'all surprise me?
All right.
You want to surprise me?
You're surprised.
Let's like do like a
You know this was coming.
Okay, yeah, come on. I had no idea this was coming. Right, come on, right. let's do it.
So we've got to get, we will be getting to
do
the
you
prop
do
bet
it?
Monster
let's
results.
Let's do it.
All right, you want to do it right now?
Let's do it.
All right, so here we go.
There's no time better than the now.
You want to play the Penn State fight song? Do we have the Penn State fight song? We'll play that, and I'll give you my LeVar Arrington.
Yeah.
It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's myself, Jonas Knox. It's Brady Quinn. And ladies and gentlemen, this is an All-American. This is a broadcaster extraordinaire. When you hear the words "we are," you think of one man and one man only. I present to you, LeVar. About that?
Oh, man. Is that not worth it, LeVar?
How about that, LeVar? Hey, are you fired up?
I'm just ready for the opening bell. I'm ready for the opening bell for round one.
Now, the reason why...
You can do it!
LeVar Arrington should be celebrating, and the reason why is because he did win the prop bet monster.
Ah, he did. Right, finally,
yeah, so
we,
did. So this week finishes in a tie. Brady won the Thursday night game, but LeVar won last night because the determining factor was the Lambeau leap. Brady, you had a wide receiver doing the first Lambeau leap.
I know.
LeVar had a running back, so of course LeVar won the game.
I should get extra credit.
Hey, wait, real quick. Did we actually get any other prop bets?
No. There's none that applied, except for one. And this is where the controversy comes in. And this is where we're going to need expert help from Roberto Flores as well, too, on this. Because the other prop bet under consideration was the number of drinks before kickoff for Lee Delap, the Packers fan. Okay, and the over-under was set at 3.5. Now, because we have to wake up so early to do the show, if you want to get in some drinking, you got to get it in early. All right, it has to be done early. And so Lee sent me a text and he asked a very important question. He said, do tall boys 24-ounce beers count as one or do they count as two? Because if that's the case,
that's got to be two.
Okay, are you sure?
Counts as two.
Yes, it's one container.
But it has to be two.
That's two. Yeah. 24 ounces.
Okay, Roberto, it's one container though.
But it's two in one container.
Okay. When you
have three people telling you it's two.
That's like if you drink a 40 ounce. If you drink a 40, is that just one 40 or do you need to, you know what I mean?
Valid point.
Listen, but here's all I'm asking. When you go to a game, like when we did at my brother's at the Raiders game, when you go to a game and you buy the 24 ounce beers, they don't say, would you like to pay $13 for two beers? It's $13 for a beer. And the beer that you get is the 24 ouncer.
You know what's funny is when you buy a 24 ounce can, they don't say, hey, you're buying two cans for one.
See what I mean?
They just give you the price for a 24 ounce can.
See what I mean?
That's illogical. Because it's already understood that you're drinking a 24-ounce can. It's two for one.
Okay, yes. But listen.
It's already understood.
I'm trying to throw out some possibilities here. Because if it's one can, why are we calling it two? I mean, if you can't detach can in half, it shouldn't be counted.
Is this the controversy, or did we deviate? Because I think we both, LeVar and I, picked the over.
Yes,
so why
I just
is this
because I thought it was an interesting question
that we
asked.
Well, because he's trying to get him under.
Yeah. No.
He's trying to get him under because if he we said over six, if he drank three, and then it only counts as three drinks. But if he drank three and it counts as two each, then he's at six.
How many did he actually drink?
If he drank four or five. Yeah.
Lee, how many did you drink? Lee, give both answers. If you counted it as two beers or you counted it as one,
he only needs to
answers.
Drink two 24 ounces.
Yeah, come on, Lee. What are we looking at?
If you counted it as one, you hit the under.
If you counted it as two, you hit the over.
But you had two tall boys. You had two tall boys.
That's it. Not exactly. But
that's it? Oh, man. Disappointing.
So you hit the over.
You hit Roberto. Damn. Roberto's like, I don't care if it's at work night. Take an Uber. Listen,
was Roberto disappointed by that number?
Yeah, of course he was. What do you mean? Roberto, the guy.
By the way, I felt pressured to buy more at the liquor store just to have the option to hit the over.
Okay, so then let me ask you this.
You did hit the over.
All right. Here's another one for you. Since you're Mr. Math, Brady, and since we can have this conversation, what about a 16-ounce beer? What about a medium boy? All right, is that considered?
It's 1.5.
Nobody thinks of a 16-ounce beer as 1.5. Nobody on planet Earth thinks of it as 1.5.
No one thinks of it that way, but you're looking at it thinking, all right, this is a beer and half a beer more. It's a little less than that. It's a little less than that.
It's 1.25.
1.25, right.
Okay, so it's easier to round down and call it a beer. All right, and by the way, that is the trick. If you want to make sure that that the missus doesn't give you a hard time, I'm telling you, start drinking double IPAs.
We've got new evidence, by the way, that would lead
to
think
the best is to drink on an empty stomach. That's the best part.
That's a fair point.
What about early mornings?
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
Right?
Yeah.
Breakfast.
10 a.m.
Yeah, just having a V8.
You got to have it before breakfast. No. I told you, I want grilled cheeses with my tomato soup. Yeah. I don't want to drink my tomato soup with alcohol. I don't want to do it.
All right, so what do you want to do, Irish coffee?
No. I want a Modelo. Okay. Or I want a cerveza for breakfast.
Did other alcoholic beverages count in this based on the new evidence that has just surfaced?
Yeah, Lee, what are we?
Did you have any alcohol with the beer?
Yeah. What counts as a drink? A one shot?
Yeah, shot.
I mean,
A shot is
equivalent to a 12-ounce beer.
Lee just sent a picture. It looks like
you pressured me.
Looks like
me.
A hotel bar.
I had to buy enough to hit the over. I didn't drink all that.
Lee, you cut that picture in half, you hit the over. Like, oh my God. You didn't tell us there was other booze involved. Is that gin?
That is
you
gin.
You got a travel-size gin?
I'm a gin guy.
Jesus. Yeah, you hit the over.
I'm proud of you, Lee.
Good for you, Lee. Lee the lap, everybody. Yes, yeah. Lee the lap.
Yeah.
All right. What am I talking about?
With a tall Nick Lachey.
Yes.
I just find
that's
it to
right.
be...
Hey, Lee, I see what you did there. You knew it.
Tall Nick
I just
Lachey.
Find hey, it when to be Wisconsin's a tad bit curious as to how he has the alcohol organized.
I know.
Presentation.
Almost like there's somebody with him, right?
You do not need to be an interior designer. That is for certain.
What a weird mixture of alcohol.
Do you see
you've
this?
Got a Miller Lite, a Nick Lachey. You've got a Bud Light Seltzer. You've got some gin. Yes. And what is that tequila or vodka?
Stomach is what you have.
Yeah, that is. There's a lot of acid right there. By the way, I noticed there was no food anywhere in the picture. So he's taking Roberto's advice. He's drinking on an empty stomach.
A lonely ass plant.
There's a lime.
Yeah, there's a lime.
What
that,
is that,
a
succulent?
Point.
What is that?
I don't know.
What is that? Jeez.
Yeah. So again, I just wanted to clear that up here. You know, some controversy here in the show. You know, wanted to make sure we're all clear here.
I think we need to do a live remote and have a drink off is what we need to do.
A drink off.
Oh, yes. I will lose. I mean,
are you a lightweight?
If you give me a light beer in a plastic cup, I'll outdrink anybody in the building. Yeah.
Cheapest date you'll ever find, Joe.
I 100% promote safety and responsibilities in terms of what we just said.
I agree.
But with that being said, I can handle my liquor and my pops.
Brady, what are you going to drink in Chicago this weekend? You're there for Big Noon Kickoff when you guys are kicking the crap out of that other show that's supposed to be there.
I don't know. I mean, I got to be professional, right? So I'm not sure.
Your stage is being right next to one another. Will y'all throw up gang signs like Big Noon?
You know what's funny to me is...
Connect gang.
I don't really get it. We've got the game. They don't.
Yeah.
Like, what's their thought process there?
They're feeling a little jealous.
They want an autograph is what they want.
Ah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.